Anderson heaving one down the sideline, and he's got Cass Allen.
Listening to the Bruin Bible. This is your host, Will Decker, bringing you UCLA football content all throughout the year for LA Football Network.
What's up, Bruin Bible listeners? This is your host, Will Decker. We are brought to you today by the good people at BetOnline. It is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports contests and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, this is MMA and boxing, esports, and even golf. I'm going to be placing some big-time bets this year. NFL, we're talking about Rams-Chargers Super Bowl. That's my prediction. Going to be placing some future odds on that. MLB, I might be placing a bet on the Dodgers to make the World Series as well, given the year that they've had so far in the regular season. I'm going to be using it for all my MMA bets. Loving when a good fight's coming up. The Nate Diaz fight coming up this Saturday. Going to be putting a nice wager on that through BetOnline. Head on over to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. What is up and welcome to Game Week. Will Decker, your host for the Bruin Bible for the LA Football Network. We are so lucky to be joined by Dan Raley. He works for the Sports Illustrated affiliate site with the Huskies. How's everything going, Dan? I know you're going to be at the game this weekend. We're looking forward to having you down here.
Well, I'm kind of excited because I'm not headed for Florida, which is in really bad shape, but I'm headed to the Sun Country, and I'm headed for a pretty good football game, it looks like.
And man, it's going to be a fun one. A lot to discuss with the Huskies. Huskies are a team that has shocked the majority of America thus far. New first-year head coach, transfer quarterback coming in making plays, and a defense that has really sustained itself, you know, through the first 4 weeks of action. Where I want to start with this is with Kalen DeBoer, former Fresno State head coach, really did some awesome things down there, gets the head coaching job for the Huskies. And, you know, as somebody that follows UCLA, DeBoer has always had our number. He's beaten us the last two times that he's been as the head man for Fresno State. I had no doubt that it was going to work out in some capacity. I think I'm a little shocked that it's working out this quickly for him at Washington. What, in your opinion, has he brought to the program that Jimmy Lake struggled to bring there in the past few seasons?
Well, one thing he brought was the offense, of course, which is light years different from what the Huskies had last year, a run-first offense that didn't work. And, you know, the offensive coordinator for Washington's football team last year is now a defensive quality coach for the Green Bay Packers. So you can see how that works. But the other thing that now I like Jimmy Lake, but I'm not sure he was ready to be a head football coach, and Kalen DeBoer is. And the difference between those two guys is that Kalen DeBoer has a real attention to detail, which all the great coaches have. You know, Lou Saban has that. Not Lou, but Nick Saban. Don James at Washington, you know, definitely had that. And Kalen DeBoer has that. I mean, he can tell you something about every football player. He can tell you who all the writers are covering his football team. He's just really plugged in. And I'm just not so sure that was the case with Washington last year, and that's why it came unraveled, because they just let all the little details kind of go off. And they also got a lot of players were injured, especially in the UCLA game last year. They lost Eddie Ulofosio, who's maybe one of the best linebackers on the West Coast, and Richard Newton, their running back, has just come back after being hurt in that game. He played one game against the Bruins and tore up his knee. So that game last year was just a real bad pivot for them. And here Kalen DeBoer comes in, and he's really genuine. And the players, I wasn't sure if they'd like his Midwestern conservative approach, because, you know, it's kind of, football's different. I mean, it's kind of flashy. It's kind of, it's supposed to be hip. I mean, and have all the latest trends in it. And here comes Kalen DeBoer, who's just really salt of the earth Midwestern guy. And I thought, is this going to work? Well, it's exactly what all these players wanted, was somebody who is just real honest with them and also is about as organized as anybody you'll find. So it's been I'm not sure how well it'll turn out, but it's off to a great start.
Off to a great start indeed. 4-0 on the season, just coming off of a big win against Stanford. They're 2.5-point favorites on the road against UCLA at the Rose Bowl this weekend. And the guy that I'm most surprised by, as I think a lot of America is too, is Michael Penix Jr., quarterback transfer coming in from Indiana. You look at the years that he had at Indiana, and the biggest things that I've noticed was, you know, the 2020 season where Indiana was able to kind of break out with the shortened season within the Big Ten. 14 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, you know, over an 8-game sample size. Nothing too flashy there. But the 2 years he had the most passing attempts, he was sub 60%, you know, when it comes to completion percentage. And then you plug him into a lineup now with Kalen DeBoer coaching and just some of the receivers that you guys possess on the outside, McMillan, Odunze, Polk, Jackson, you know, just guys that can get open in the field and make plays. He has blossomed into arguably the best starter within the Pac-12 statistic-wise through 4 weeks of action, 12 touchdowns to only 1 interception, 64% completion percentage. What has Penix Jr. brought to the table? And I'm not just talking about his incredibly strong arm that is so much fun to watch play, you know, in the open field when he airs it out.
Well, you know what? What happened is everybody forgot who he was when he got injured so much. And he got 2 shoulder injuries and 2 knee injuries. And some of those were cheap shots. And, you know, there were penalties called on those plays. And so it was unfortunate for him that, you know, he was really hot. And I think sometimes football players know how to cool you off. They're just going to, you know, take a knee. And so his seasons were abbreviated. But, you know, he beat Michigan and Michigan State in back-to-back weeks. He beat Penn State with an overtime touchdown run. He threw for 497 yards and 5 touchdowns at Ohio State in a 7-point loss. And I don't care who you are, what league you're in, SEC, ACC, Big Ten. I mean, those are huge numbers and huge accomplishments. And then he was second team all Big Ten behind Justin Fields, you know, yeah, in his hot year. His short, you know, they're all short. He hasn't played more than 6 games in a year. And so if he plays, he'll play Friday night in L.A. And if he plays the following week against who do we go? Arizona State. Then he'll have tied his season high in games. But he's always been pretty good. But now he's a fifth-year senior with a lot of experience. He's been in all these huge stadiums. He's beaten a bunch of big teams. And now they've just got him a little bit more honed, a little bit more accurate. And he throws it. He throws a deep ball incredibly accurate. And so that's where it's come. It's, you know, everybody develops, all these football players develop, but he was already good to begin with. And if they can keep him healthy and not let him run and have that line protect him as well as they can in the pocket, then they could have a pretty amazing year.
Yeah. And you couple that with, you know, Wayne Talapapa, the running back, you know, making big plays thus far this year, 48 carries, 307 yards, 3 touchdowns, averaging 6.4 yards per pop on that. The receiving room, it's a room that I had just on the outside of the top 5 of the Pac-12 preseason rankings. I think you got to have them at least in the top 2 or 3 right now, just the way that they're operating with DeBoer and Penix Jr. going out there. If UCLA had to kind of shut down one receiver from Washington, who, in your opinion, would that be for them to have a successful defensive game plan?
I think it's got to be 2 guys. I don't think one is going to make a difference because, you know, we thought Jalen Polk was the number 3 receiver, and he just caught 3 touchdown passes on Michigan State. He played at Texas Tech and was an immediate starter as a true freshman and ran up some big numbers during the, you know, the height of the pandemic. And so it's kind of hard figuring out who the number 1 guy is. If I look at him straight up, I think Rome Odunze is like, you put like 20 more pounds on him and he's DK Metcalf here, yeah, in Seattle. And because he's 6'3" and 215 already. So he's a big possession receiver with a lot of speed. And I thought when I saw all these wide receiver lists that came out, I think McMillan's pretty good. I think Polk's pretty good. But I think Odunze is the guy with the most upside. And I think he'll be the highest drafted of these guys when it's time for them to go play for pay or more pay. And so, yeah, Odunze, if you're gonna attack one guy, you take him out. But, you know, the first couple of weeks, McMillan had a big day, and Odunze was kind of the guy that was covered, and then Polk was the guy that was the number 1 guy against Michigan State. But here, Odunze last week, it was his turn.
Absolutely, and Odunze putting up big numbers, 18 catches, 293 yards, 2 touchdowns, averaging 16.3 yards a catch. Just a lot of talent in that receiving room. I could see 3 of those, maybe even all 4 of your top leading receivers playing on Sundays in some extent, moving on to the next level. Let's move over to the defense, Dan. And this defense, I think when nationally people think of the Huskies in the last 5 to 6 years, it's been all about the secondary and what these people have provided. You know, the Buda Bakers, you know, the McMillans from last year getting drafted. They have a lot of talent out of the secondary. But this year, there's been some guys on the defensive line that have kind of stepped up for you guys. Braylon Trice is the first guy that I see standing out. 4.5 sacks in 4 games as a defensive lineman, making big play after big play. What has Trice done to kind of separate himself this year for the Washington Huskies?
Well, he really hasn't separated himself. They have 3 pass rushers that are NFL guys. And one of them is a Texas A&M transfer named Jeremiah Martin. And he's the great one against the run. So they put him on one side. And then they alternate Braylon Trice and Zion Tupuola-Fatui at the other side. And when you look at those two, Trice is still just a sophomore. And last year, or Akaika Molloy, who's now with the Bruins, told us last year that Braylon Trice was going to be better than Joe Tryon, who was a first-round draft pick edge rusher from Washington that went to the Tampa Bay Bucks, and he's now starting in his second year there, and big play guy. And he said Trice is better than him, and Trice is definitely bigger than him. But ZTF, Zion, and I'll let you practice his name in private, he was all Pac-12 first team 2 years ago, and then he blew his Achilles. So he finally had his first really good game last weekend against Stanford since he blew the Achilles. And, you know, like he had 7 sacks in 4 games and 3 strip sacks in the pandemic season. And this last weekend he had a couple of sacks, and he was just terror again coming off the edge. So they have 3 guys, and Trice didn't start last weekend. ZTF did, but the previous 3 games it was Trice. So they alternate. And if you have an ego, you better not come to this football team, because – you know, starter just really isn't going to mean much anymore. You're going to play, but some guys really have to deal with that, the ego thing. So, but Trice is good. He might be the third. I think he's maybe the third best out of those 3 that we were just talking about here.
Yeah, an impressive group. I think all 3 may have NFL futures. I mean, ZTF was the guy that we mentioned with our preseason defensive lineman rankings. He was in our top 5 as well. So a very, very good football player, ZTF is. Secondary, you know, Asa Turner, 2 picks. You guys have 4 different players with interceptions. The ball hawk mentality has still kind of carried through for the Washington Huskies, even without, you know, the likes of Jimmy Lake and some of those guys. Is this secondary group impressive to the Washington fan base, knowing that the standard is so high there year in and year out?
Right now it's a band-aid. I mean, if UCLA is going to win on Friday night, they got to destroy this secondary. And I think it's vulnerable, really vulnerable, because, you know, they play a five-man, you know, defensive set, and 3 of those guys, 3 of the original starters are out and all injured. And one might come back for this game, but, you know, he's gimpy at best, I think. And so last game they started a redshirt freshman, Devon Banks, who's really fast from Southern California, pretty good player. He got beat for 2 touchdown passes by Stanford. So then they run out Julius Irvin, whose father was a legendary L.A. cornerback for the Rams, Leroy Irvin. And he was a safety at the start of the season, and then they – turned him into a cornerback mid-game against Kent State in the opener. I mean, they talked to him about it, but they never had him run through practice, and they had a guy get injured. So they just sent him out in the field at cornerback, and he's been there ever since. And he's been beat a few times, but he's really fast. They're just not like already NFL-bound guys that are pegged, you know, by all the draft analysts to be first-round picks like Trent McDuffie and Kyler Gordon were last year. And So they're vulnerable in the defensive secondary. And at safety, Asa Turner, who you mentioned, had a couple of picks in the opener. He's out, and I don't think he'll play this weekend. And so that leaves Alex Cook as almost the only full-time guy that's been out there the whole time. Plus, they call it a hybrid Husky. Dom Hampton is not bad either. He plays kind of a combination safety linebacker. But your coverage guys are all new, all kind of vulnerable, and Dorian Thompson Robinson should be licking his chops, wondering what can I get off these guys.
Yeah, DTR in year number five for the Bruins. I got a couple more questions for you before we get to your prediction for the game. Liatu Latu has really kind of found his footing once again in college football, playing for UCLA. He was medically ineligible up in Washington, has made his way down. Have you guys been paying attention to that story? Because he's leading the Pac-12 currently in sacks. It has been such a fun storyline for UCLA Bruin fans.
Well, I wrote a story at the beginning of the week on it. He came in from Sacramento, and he was maybe the prize of their recruiting class in 2018. I mean, he came in with Braylon Trice, and you know, he played immediately, played in 12 out of 13 games. He was the only freshman lineman of any kind that played regularly, was in the rotation coming in and playing behind a couple of, you know, Tryon and a couple NFL guys. And so everybody knew he was a fantastic football player the short time he was here. But then he hurt that neck of his, and they had him deal with five different specialists, and they all said, you can't play anymore. You're going to risk being paralyzed. And I just remember him, they let him come out to practice. They encouraged him to come out to practice, just kind of stay involved, but said, you're done playing. And Akaika Molloy tried to get him to become a firefighter because he was in Seattle, because he thought about doing that elsewhere. And so he was part of the program. And I just remember him and ZTF, who's coming off an Achilles heel surgery. They're just standing at practice, throwing a football back and forth. And I'm looking at these two guys going, wow, those are two really great football players, just absolutely disconnected to this football team. So Zion comes back, but Leatu hit the portal right as DeBoer got hired. And DeBoer didn't even know who he was. And DeBoer didn't even have a conversation with him. He's just hiring his staff, and Latu's out the door. And I asked DeBoer about him earlier this week. And he says, I didn't even know about him, knew that he was at UCLA until the season was about to start. And so I said, well, explain to me how he's able to play at UCLA and not at Washington. And he goes, hey, look, I've been at places, and you get different opinions, different medical opinions. And some guys are real cautious and careful in their prognosis or diagnosis. So, you know, it's just, kind of hit and miss on that. And, you know, if he gets hurt again, I mean, who takes the blame or who's liable? I don't know, but so far so good. He's been taught not to hit with his head, you know, and try to use the shoulders. But I hope for the best for him, because, you know, I thought, God, if you're medically retired at one school, how is that different at another? But so far, so good.
Yeah, and I think that brings me to our next question, too, is the defensive line has been almost a strength, you know, for UCLA this year, where years past it's been really hard for them to generate pressure from the front four. How is UW's offensive line? I don't know if you have a finite answer on this, but I would love to get your opinion through four games on what they've looked like, because the front four has been a strength, and it's something that UCLA has really improved upon this year.
Yeah, well, you know, it was supposed to be really good last year, all five starters back, maybe the biggest line in Husky history, and it just did a face plant. I mean, it couldn't open up any holes for the run game. The passing game wasn't very good, so they stacked the box against the run all season long. UCLA did that, probably seven or eight guys in the box, and just said, dare you to throw it on us. And so what they did, they came in, DeBoer came in, and they really shuffled that line. They sent, like, they had a 6'8", 360-pound offensive guard. Now he's on the defense. His name is Ulumu Ale. And they immediately banished him to the defense, where he's not bad. And then there was another starter who got moved to another position, and he doesn't play. There was yet another starter at right tackle, Victor Kern. He got beat out by a redshirt freshman. So there's three new guys, and redshirt freshman's at tackle, and he's always been pretty good. It's just his time now. Then they've got a guy at guard named Troy Fatanu, who might be the best lineman of all of these guys and could be an all-conference guy. And then they welcome back Jackson Kirkland, a sixth-year senior who's been a two-time first-team all Pac-12 guy. And he played half a game against Stanford, and he wants to be an NFL first rounder. That's why he came back and pulled out of the draft, because he got hurt and had ankle surgery. So those three guys are pretty good. And then they fill in with a couple of seniors that are, you know, fill-ins. is how I describe him. So
awesome. Well, yeah, you guys have a very strong line. We saw Jackson Kirkland in person at Pac-12 Media Day down here in Los Angeles. Give me your prediction for the game. I think it's going to be close. I think UCLA can potentially get back to where we projected them in the preseason, being a little bit better. They struggled without a conference opponents, but look to at least play the part in the last two or three games. Give me your thoughts, Dan. Where is this game going on Friday night?
Well, I've watched UCLA, and I can't tell what they have. You know, I do know the quarterback's good, the running back's good, Leatu's good. You know, UCLA should have a whole bunch of talent. And they got Chip Kelly, who's always feasted on the Huskies. We've been real careful with this football team because last year we thought they were the 20th-ranked football team in the country, and they went 4-8, and they weren't very good at all. And even the games they won, they had to win them in the last second, so they weren't competitive at all. So we come into this year, and we see a lot of things. The practices are unreal compared to how different they are from year to year. And then that quarterback, you can tell they said it was a three-man competition, and this, we're all looking at each other going, who are the other two? I mean, it was a one-man competition since we saw him throw his first pass. So I see this game, and I was on the radio with the Michigan State guys, and I picked Michigan State to win it by a touchdown. And these guys have surprised me, and I know their secondaries made them real vulnerable, but I think with Penix, I think anything goes, and I think they're on a run, and I'd make them 1-point winner, maybe 28-27 is what I do now, just because I think I've learned my lesson of being too cautious with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And Dan, I just want to thank you so much for coming on. This was so much fun having you a part of the Bruin Bible. Great prediction this week. Hopefully we can see you down here and maybe catch a beer after the game if that's something you're interested in.
I'll be there.
Awesome. Bruin Bible, we are officially